This summer, Triple M rocks Test cricket.
I get people coming up to me saying, who is the owner of that beautiful voice? I go, that lady's name's Ishigua, and she is nothing like you imagine. I don't know what you've got in your head, but she is not even close to that.
Who, Vodka Vonnie?
That's it.
I'm getting sad, though, guys, because I'm starting to lose my husky voice. I'm starting to go.
What, you've had one night in?
Husky voice is going.
And the husky voice is gone.
Oh, get back on the smokes and the drink.
Dougie Walters style. I want to know, Kerry, though, you were talking about Alistair Cook putting Graham Swann to bed. Did you ever put Dougie Walters to bed?
No, I would always fall asleep before he fell asleep. Nobody put him to bed.
Right.
Nobody put Dougie in the corner.
Root's been out six times in the series, four times nicking off, and two to big off-cutter in-swingers, LBW. So Hazelwood has him nicking off once. Cummins has him nicking off twice. So that'll be interesting. That is a method to him, to get him LB plonks to things that come back into him, or get him on bouncy pitches, just opening the bat face. This is not a bouncy pitch, and the ball's not moving much. So advantage Joe Root, 50-0.
James, isn't it great just sitting in a commentary box with someone with the knowledge of Scull?
Hey, magnificent.
Like, a lot of people sit there and say, mate, he just when he talks cricket, he is just
No, finish spot what you on. Said before. You said when a lot of people say he just...
He talks shit. But when you talk cricket, mate, you are the most prepared person and the most knowledgeable person in Australian cricket.
But I'll dwell for hours on the first thing that you broke on saying.
Hazelwood again around the wicket. Just steered to the man in the belly. Yeah, you'd probably keep that first bit to yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, he's three quarters. I said 75%. Give me 100%.
No, almost 100%.
Oh, it was almost 100%. You talk crap, but when you talk cricket...
When you talk cricket, you are... There is nothing better, Scull. Love your company. Hazelwood's working well around the wicket here and working away beautifully, getting those lengths right. And you've got to feel that Australia are going to take early wickets. Yep. Get him back in the game.
There he goes, getting deep again.
That's it. We can't have that. That's
your Jacques Cousteau of cricket. Mate, you just go
see,
so
where,
deep.
Where I've wrapped you up, I'm the other end of the scale. So you're North Pole, I'm South Pole. I've got nothing.
I come in with a forest of paper. You come in with your phone. And you're not checking cricket messages.
No.
Oh.
For those who missed it, Merv's the highlight yesterday was when 10 and 11 were at the crease for Australia, and he came out with a statement, any run from here is a bonus.
And that, I tell you what, just quietly, that was spot on. The way they were batting, they didn't look like getting a run.
That is true. Hazelwood to Cook.
No, I knew you were being honest with us.
I had a great mate of mine send me a message yesterday saying he heard the first half hour of yesterday's commentary, where the three of us basically told Ian Botham that the last sort of 5 minutes of his test career, he should never have had the ball.
He was an oompa loompa.
This mate of mine said, this is one of the all-time great players. You blokes were basically telling him in the end he couldn't bowl.
I think he was telling us.
Well, he couldn't, let's be honest. He was picked as a batsman right at the finish. His knees had absolutely blown up at that stage.
He tried an outswinger late, but he couldn't get it past his measles. He's hooks and cuts.
You know who could be dangerous when if England is still batting at stumps today, they're controlling the game, aren't they? They'll have a lead of around 140, 150. They've got wickets in hand. Australia could lose this test match.
Easily.
So Australia has to really bowl them out today and perhaps trail by a little or close to parity. I really see them still batting tonight. Moeen Ali could be dangerous. This is a pitch with no bounce. He's been craving this sort of deck to bat on to hit his boundaries. Yeah. Watch out for a big dig from M. Ali. Yeah.
What?
I'm just waiting for it. Well, if I had said that, if England are still batting tonight, Australia in trouble. Yeah. Oh, Captain Obvious. Serious. And no, Scull says it, and it's okay.
But
I'm saying I think they will be still batting at stumps today.
I don't think. I'll give them 250.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What, they're going to lose 8 for 53?
They're a chance.
Have you been to the Racecourse Hotel early opener?
Late closes, go.
I hope you're right, big guy. You know, but, you know, the ball's now 60-odd overs old. It's not going reverse as much as I thought it might. And Cook and Root are playing pretty well.
They still have early openers. Do they exist? They used to, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
And quality too.
Mate, back in the day when I was working on the brewery truck, I loved the early openers.
Oh, yeah.
Because you'd drop off the kegs and the publican would pour you a nice cold schooner of Reshes.
Scooey.
At 6:15 a.m. Well, you couldn't say no.
Hey. So in Perth, they were called Bruce Laird's.
Well,
the early opener.
Oh, the early opener.
I need to go to a Stumpy Laird.
Oh, or the Graham Wood.
The big thing about
the out
it,
early opener.
There's no early openers these days because places just open 24-7, aren't they?
Oh, are they? Yeah.
Not pretty with much. A licence.
No. Oh, just not in out. Sydney. We close at 9 p.m.
Really?
Oh, yeah, no. We've got liquor laws.
You've got lockouts now, mate.
Lockouts, yeah.
I prefer the lock-ins. Get there by 9, you can't leave at almost 6 a.m.
I've seen you at bars around the world. You love a lock-in, don't you?
That great. Falcon up there is flying around beautifully. Oh. Keep the seagulls away. The little kite up there.
That thing, they reckon, keeps the seagulls away. I can see one down on the ground already. Yeah. During the AFL footy season, Mervyn, you would know this, there are hundreds of the bloody things.
Yeah, when it blows up on the bay, they look for a little bit of...
So what's that plastic bird doing? Bugger all.
There's a couple.
What are they? Well, eagles.
Yeah. Oh, falcons.
Falcons?
They're meant to keep them away.
They have them in Trafalgar Square, don't they? They produce a falcon to keep the pigeons away.
Yeah, that works.
Yeah, there's 8,000 pigeons there.
Actually, you don't see any pigeons, but you see the pigeon poop everywhere.
All the pigeons are drunk. Let's stop drinking for now. The falcon's about to lop. Oh, it'll be here for half an hour and we'll get back on the drink. Never seen so many piss pigeons. What time's the falcon due?
I always wonder when you've got the Skycam thing in modern sporting venues.
Spider cam.
You don't need a plastic bird.
No.
A bird's going to shit itself when that comes around.
Yeah.
What sort of bird's that? It's got all these wires hanging off it. If I'm a seagull, I'm buggering off when I see spider cam.
What about those, with that bird up there, suspended, I mean, do the seagulls just... sort of fly around it, saying,
No,
come on, have a crack.
What's that string piled up your ass?
Yeah, you're feeling lucky.
By the way, boys, playing miss out there. Not a bad ball.
Oh, sorry.
Outside, off stump. So I do apologise.
Bird.
Sorry, I do apologise.
We've got the seagulls going nyin-nyin-nyin-nyin to the bird on a string.
No, we've got one seagull going nyin-nyin. We've got one tough bugger down here.
Merv.
And the rest of them are staying clear.
If you want to talk about cricket,
Channel
go
9.
Into the ABC box.
Sorry.
We're talking about plastic birds.
I do apologise.
That bird was drinking with Ishigua last night on the pavement. Just hung over.
You better unleash him.
Come on, then.
Before he forgets.
Give us the story.
The story. Beefy. Young bloke. I was up at Myrtleford, northeast Victoria. Go down to a coaching clinic. What year was this, Beef? 75?
No, 70...
Before he played Test cricket, mm-hmm. He's over on a scholarship playing for Paran, I think he was.
Right.
Melbourne University.
Melbourne Uni. So I'm in the Nets, and English bloke there plays a bit of cricket. I walked over to him and said, you know, want to play cricket. Got any tips for me? He just looked at me and said, yeah. Take up golf or tennis, far more enjoyable, more money in it. And then probably 10 years later, playing England at Brisbane, may have seen on Channel 9, may have heard the highlights on Triple M. Took 22 off and over.
Of yours?
Yeah, made 100, smashed us all over the place. I still claim victory for that because the highest amount off and over in Test cricket was 24, but that was an 8-ball over. Mine was 6-ball over, so I claim victory. Right. Bit of a rain delay. Sitting out front of the Australian rooms, just sitting there, being kicked out, sitting there a little bit disillusioned with life. Sir Ian Botham, well, he wasn't Sir Ian Botham back then, it was just Ian Botham, walked out of the English rooms, stood up, looked at me, how are you feeling? Oh, how do you reckon I'm feeling? Like, one for plenty. You've slogged me all over the place. Said, I don't know whether you'd remember this coaching clinic in northeast Victoria when you were at Melbourne Uni. He said, yeah, I remember. Benalla. I said, that's the place. Said, I was there. Did I give you any tips? And I said, yeah. He said, what did I tell you? Take up golf or tennis, far more enjoyable, a lot more money. Just looked at me very sternly and said, You should have listened to it.
Oh, no.
Good morning, Skull, first up.
Good morning to you, Gus. Good morning, Swanee.
Morning, chaps.
How are you, Swanee?
I've got a bit of an apology to make to you lot.
What, for the previous three tests?
for the way England senior players have conducted themselves off the field during this trip. No, I accuse many of you of being in on a joke hiding these sunglasses from Bluey yesterday. Mm. They're in my shoe. I don't know how they got there, but...
We told you it was no joke. You're a thief.
No, he's got them back.
How'd they end up in your shoe?
You look at me like that, Gus. You were the one with the police walking around you, but back behind the box today. I don't know, Skull. They ended up in my shoe. I've no idea how they got there. But I'll take the blame. I do sleepwalk a lot.
Just for people who weren't here, we knew that you had stolen his sunglasses.
No, I'd picked them up, and I'd even said on air, whose are these sunglasses?
They were Hugh Jackman's, and you wanted to steal them.
I thought they were Jackman's. I thought, I'll keep hold of him, bound to bump into him again.
Of course.
One of the many red carpet events I go to.
You walked past him and I produced duct tape. It was just unbelievable, your reaction. Have you met Maggie Smith?
You know I know Hugh Jackman, don't you? I've challenged him to a duel before. You're aware of this?
No.
All right, okay.
Over a fair lady?
Oh, no. I was supposed to be bowling at him in the nets at the SCG, actually.
All right.
Got a feeling if it was a battle between you and Jackman for a fair lady, you might come second.
Well, he's not English. He's not got that... he's not got that old school charm. He may have his good looks and his millions of dollars. Yeah, I think he'd walk that one.
Yeah.
No.
He's been asked to play James Bond, you know, so he can put on the posh accent.
Every actor in the world has apparently been asked to play James Bond.
He has been, mate.
Oh, you know, do you, Gus? The day they have an Australian James Bond.
We've already had one. George Lazenby was an Aussie.
Exactly, and what happened there?
Just the one-off.
One film, exactly. Thanks, George.
He is seated last of the Bond, didn't he, sadly?
He is.
That run rate's just been brought down to 3.09. Was it 3.27 earlier today? So it's been brought down a touch, probably with the couple of wickets that have fallen. Davin Milan to go for 14, LBW to Hazelwood. Why did he not review it, Skull?
Oh, well, I think he needs a cochlear implant. Because, and what is Alistair Cook at the non-strikers in? I mean, he's got 134 not out and taken two wickets.
Well, they need a 2-for-1 deal on the implant.
Yeah.
Because we're just seeing the replay now of James Vince. I think that was harder to tell, but you could see that he went up to Cook and asked him, was that bat first? And the response was obviously, no, I think you're out.
I mean, please. He's our best bowler, Alistair Cook. He's got 2-for.
I mean, he did literally hit the cover off that. You could tell. Oh. I mean, it was so much more obvious, the Davin Milan one.
Ridiculous.
I'd be absolutely spewing if I was Milan.
These modern bats, have they got soft edges? Are they just...
They're definitely a little bit softer. There's no doubt about that. And they're obviously thicker as well. But I would have thought you would have...
Oh, you'd have to know.
Felt that.
He's 2 foot from where it hit. His eyes and his ears. He must have heard it.
Or felt it.
Yeah. I mean, Gilly heard it in Perth.
But he's got bigger ears than us.
We're just talking about those floating experiences that players have when they're out in the middle. Are you saying you never felt that, Kerry?
I never felt a float. Once playing for the Camellia Grove Hotel against 11 drunks, they were floating.
And they were seeing three of you.
Yeah, they thought, is that guy floating? It was a Sunday morning pub comp. Is Skull floating or are we?
So which one of the balls that was coming down at them did they actually hit?
When I bowled at them in the afternoon, they were coming in right-handers with the pad on the right foot. And I was bottling flippers and hitting him on their naked front foot. I said, I didn't think he'd hit me on the back, on the front. And I was on 50 cents a wicket. I was on incentive, and the number 11 came in, and he fainted about 2 yards from the pitch.
and the team secretary said, I'm not paying for the wicket, Skull, so I tried to help him to take
throw some water on him.
Get him up.
Slapping his cheeks.
I'm slapping.
So how much did you make that day?
I made $4.50 and I wanted the $5. And I black coffee. No innings closed. Get up, you idiot. I've got a flipper waiting for you.
You were holding him up, then running down the other end
and
quickly
bowling.
Before he fell over again.
Just keep it straight. I think I hit him on the head and I feel for LBW. He's too far forward.
Oh, my cheeks are gone.
Yeah. He was floating all right.
Oh,
the pub comp 1969.
Oh. Bluey, of course, it was too professional.
Yeah,
day.
Sorry, Bluey.
You never had...
No. I love it. My cheeks are gone.
You know when you talk, Isha, there are people driving around Australia that just pour themselves a wine and sit back and listen. I mean, 80 of them have been picked up for drink driving because of the mellow nature of your voice and the soothing. They just feel, I've got to have a wine. I'm driving. They demolish half a bottle of Pinot.
Oh, it's amazing, Kerry, because I don't get that back home.
Don't you really?
No, not at all.
But you do hear, don't they? They just say that voice.
Oh, it's lovely. You got accused of having an Aussie accent yesterday. Oh,
I know. I couldn't believe it. Graham Swan was all over me.
Wasn't he?
I said, they're up and about.
Oh. Hey, you did too.
Maybe not as Australian as that.
No.
But my husky voice is diminishing, Kerry.
Yeah, people are in court for drink driving saying, I was listening to Isha Gua.
Tim May, Dennis Hickey and myself out in Perth went home in the back of a divvy van.
Really? Do tell.
Any whites?
We were out in Claremont down the West Coast Highway, down the highway in over the...
Bayview,
the club. And we couldn't get a cab. Tim May came up with the really smart idea. Why don't we just lie down on the road and therefore a car will actually stop. And then when it stops, we'll ask them if they can give us a lift back into the city.
See, Tim May's an intelligent man. I would have thought that would have been Dennis Hickey that came up with that plan.
He's got Hickey written all over
him. Tim May, who at that stage in the Australian team is an off-spinner, lying on the West Coast Highway. And the first car that came along was a cop car.
Out what
came
are
the
you
policeman
doing?
Policeman and said, "Right, you're in the back."
And but
then
you
they
too?
Then they recognised Maisie, and they said, "Maisie said, well, while you're throwing me in, you reckon you can put the boys in as well? We need a ride into the city."
So you and Hick didn't go along with it.
No, we were leaving him to his own devices because we didn't want all three of us dead. So if anyone's going to die, we'll just let it be Maisie. So it,
didn't see a thing. I don't know what happened.
Funniest bit about it was the cop then dropped us right at the cop shop in the centre of town. When Maisie started complaining, he said, no, we're staying at the Radisson.
I'd rather be dropped off.
I said, Maisie, we're lucky not to be locked up. Anywhere in the city's fine, we'll just walk home.
I was playing for the Mount Eliza under-12s at the time, the Mighty Mounties, and we're all being taken to the ground, Rowella Drive, by our coach in a people mover. He'd broke down on the way, so the divvy van pulled up and said, don't worry, boys, jump in the back. Mate, so we all jump in the back of the divvy van, and we're taken to Rowella Drive. We all pile out of the back. Well, you should have seen the look on the other team's face. Let's just say there wasn't a lot of sledging going on that day, lads.
And one by 15 goals.
And one by 15, at least.
So if that happened out at Werribee, you wouldn't bat an eyelid.
We wouldn't bat an eyelid. Yeah. Team buses here.
Oh, we're playing Sunshine Heights. Oh, yeah, back of a divvy van, not a problem. Just expect that out there.
Speaking of divvy vans.
Oh, here we go.
The great Ron Barassi, I don't think he does a lot of after-dinner speaking anymore, the great man, so I can actually steal this one from him. 1975, he coaches North Melbourne to their first ever premiership. They have the celebrations here at the ground and then back to Arden Street, which is in North Melbourne, 3 km from here. And on the way back in a cab with the silverware, the cab breaks down.
Right.
Just across the road from the Women's and Children's Hospital.
Okay.
It is hosing down with rain.
Yep.
And the cab driver's very apologetic to the great man. Says, Ron, I'm sorry, but my cab's broken down. You're going to have to get out. The good news is I'm not going to charge you for the trip so far, but I can't take you any further. So Ron's standing out the front of the Women's and Children's Hospital about a K from Arden Street with the silverware, having just won the flag.
Yep.
Next car that came along is a divvy van. pulls up. The cop winds the window down and says, "Ron, what are you doing? Ron goes, "Well, I was in that cab going to Arden Street, yep. but it broke down. Get in the back.
Jump in."
The cop gets out of the divvy van, opens up the back, says, "You, it's your lucky night. Get out." This bloke gets out the back, legs it down the street. Ron Grassy gets in and they drop him at Arden Street.
Everyone's a winner. I love that story.
Actually, I was just next door with Damien Fleming. In England, we have Lancashire, Yorkshire. That's the big rivalry. Yep. Notts Derby's kind of rubbish. You've got your Victoria, New South Wales. And I was saying to him, "What is it? You know, what's the distinguishing features?" And he ran through a list of sort of the players from New South Wales who were in the team when he played. Mm. The War Brothers, Taylor, Slater. I said, "What about the Victorians?" And he went, "Hughes, Fleming." So straight away, I just thought the match winners are the Victorians.
Oh, bowls.
Warn. Your bog standard, make up the numbers.
Rifle.
Your New South Welshman. It went down well with Damien Fleming.
Yeah, they
would have loved it.
He accepted that with a plomb.
No, he would have. I love the fact that he dumped himself in immediately too.
He did. Doddermade.
Well, I noticed our executive producer McNamara wasn't thrown in there.
No.
The grubby little all-rounder.
The very grubby.
Yes.
And don't forget, before Shane Warne, we had superstars like Paul Jackson, Peter Osborne.
That's it. Superstars. Hey, they were big games, those. Especially when all the test players were playing.
He said that the Australian team used to be 5 New South Welshmen, 5 Victorians and a South Australian.
Yeah. Well, WA for a long time provided a big slab of the Australian team too. They had some pretty decent players over there.
I've never heard of any of their players.
Lily Broadbart.
Yeah, exactly.
They were there to make up the numbers, weren't they?
Yeah. Yep. In fact, the one player I used to love watching on videos was Kim Hughes.
Mm. Yeah.
And I found it the other day, he's Ricky Ponting's favourite ever batsman, Kim Hughes.
Yeah, he was great.
But then when I Googled Kim Hughes batting, there's one video on there when he goes to whack a gate and ends up hitting a poor lady in the face.
Oh, and that's
Dirk Wallop.
Dirk Wallop, sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
I apologise.
Yes.
Mr Hughes, I apologise.
Yes, yeah. No, Dirk Wallop.
Profusely.
I played that game.
Yeah.
And that's, the bird so. Rolled up the next day after being hit in the melon by the cricket bat with a limp. She's on TV, she limped into the ground. Good old Barb.
So Dirk Welling was the one battered with glasses on.
Yes.
Yes, that's it.
Do you remember Tony Cozie, the magnificent commentator?
Yeah.
So when I fell in love with cricket, 86, 87, we had this video that we used to watch of the one days, and it ran through this one scorecard, and it just went, Welling went for a violent drive and just about reached extra cover.
short extra cover.
Not been a great innings for the Australian captain, has it?
No.
Dropped Cook on 66 on 153, and then Chris Wokes not even going for the catch.
I'd mark that down as a refusal.
Mm.
0-2 and a refusal.
He is feeling a little bit worse for wear, though, with that tummy bug.
Yeah.
Not to make excuses for him. Is
our own Narrowly Meadows tweeted that Nathan Lyon's a little bit under the weather as well, so there might be something going through the group.
Could have done with that a couple of tests ago, Bluey. I'm honest. That would have been nice.
They stayed at our hotel last year, I think. Oh, no, Channel 9 did. Yeah. So something they've eaten?
Must be.
If
it's contagious.
You guys stayed at our hotel in Brisbane last year when I was part of the Australian
mantra.
Cricket team coaching staff. And I didn't see you there, Skull, but every time I walked back into the hotel in Brisbane,
yes,
just about the entire commentary team was in the bar. Didn't matter what time it was, I walked in.
I wasn't there, was I, Kerry?
I don't know.
You were there.
I mean, they used to clean around them. Buzzard's bald head was polished, not by himself. Yeah, Buzzard, it was 3 a.m. Cleaners had come in with the floor polisher. Well, there's a head on the floor. And Buzzard, he said, "Oh, I love a polish."
Well, the England girls won the Cricket World Cup on the 23rd of July this year. And
what happened?
It was quite a busy day. We've been working all day for various different people. Obviously a fantastic tournament, one of the best World Cups that's ever happened in the women's game.
Yeah,
I was so excited because the girls, they weren't the favourites ahead of the tournament. They'd lost the first game. They ended up winning everyone into the final. India were in a great position to win. We ended up picking up all the wickets for not many runs. I think it was 6 for 30 odd that Annie Shropshire got. Yeah. So a really good night. We went out afterwards, had a couple of drinks. I didn't have loads, Kerry. And all I remember at midnight...
We're getting to the crunch. Now the
we've got one ball out. There was nowhere... It was Sunday night. There was nowhere to go. So we ended up at the girls' hotel.
We're into our rated now. This is going to be good. Enough of the PG. What happened next?
And I just bought a round of espresso martinis.
Oh, yeah.
Went into the toilets at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. As bird as...
Look, there was a bird in there. You pulled in the bird.
Lotus is 24. 6 for 357. I'll get you the rest of the story after the break.
Oh, please.
Oh, no.
Here we go. And Greg blew it. So we're in the toilet.
Yeah.
And I've just gone in. It's 1 a.m.
And how many drinks have you had?
I've had 3 drinks, including... I've just had an espresso martini.
Yes.
And I sit down on the toilet at 1 a.m.
You sit down?
I yes. I am a woman. I am allowed to sit down on the toilet. And I wake up 3.5 hours later on the toilet...
Really?
Literally, not even leaning on anything. I'm just sort of just hunched over the toilet.
Oh, my God.
I wake up, nothing with me, no bag, no phone, walk outside into the bar,
yeah.
Tumbleweed. There was no one there apart from a cleaner.
And you said to him, has anybody seen Hugh Jackman? I'm up for it.
No, that's Narrowly Meadows you're on about.
No, so you fell asleep in a soup, in a stationary position
in
on the ball.
In a stationary position.
That is the definition of tired. Tiredness.
And I literally had, everyone was like, oh, yeah, you must have had a few. But I literally had had about 2 drinks.
And had you, was there excretion? Did anything happen?
I don't remember.
Did you flush? Did you wash your
I don't remember.
Oh,
to be honest,
did you shake hands with the cleaner?
I was more worried about the fact that everyone had left me. I didn't have my bag or anything. What hurt me the most was Rich was with me in the bar.
Oh, right.
And had disappeared.
Oh, right.
As had the rest of the girls.
They'd just gone.
I tried calling everyone from the hotel phone. I was like, oh.
Well, they thought you'd done the runner. That's the old trick in the book. I'm going in the toilet.
The classic Mark Howard trick. And... I tried calling Rich off the hotel phone, managed to find a porter who had my bag, so found my iPad, no phone to be seen. Managed to get hold of him on FaceTime an hour later, and he answered the phone and he was like, "Hi," and I was like,
"All right,
are you in bed?" He'd gone home and gone to bed, and obviously Isha Gewitt nowhere to be seen.
What did you say? Are you on the
porter? He'd passed out in bed.
Really?
Yeah. I could have been anywhere, Kerry.
No. But you were safe. Great story.
What have you been up to, Mick?
Well, I have been schmoozing with some corporate types. It's probably the best way to describe it. Putting in the hard yards to keep us on air, you two.
Yeah, okay.
Someone had to do it. It was a dirty job. It involved a CUB corporate box, many drinks, and an incident I'll talk about. Major incident.
We're intrigued here.
Well, no, so I said it was a box for a brewery, Carlton United, and the at tea, they brought out one tray of party pies, and there were 20 very drunk publicans in the bar. Well, you've never seen...
not enough to go around.
Wow, it's like seagulls squabbling over a chip. Tables were overturned. It was a fist fight.
They were punching on over the pies.
And then there was a tray of scones left untouched. And the only comment I heard was, it's not Wimbledon, mate.
As we're just finishing up a drinks break and watching the Ashes Pashes, which if people don't know, it's up on the big screen. I put a boy and a girl together and you need to have a pash.
And there's 2 horses.
People with horses' heads.
Horses' heads.
Some love to kiss and others are very iffy about it. An older couple now. Oh, that was respectful. That kiss. Well done. One bloke went for a full-on grope and everything.
That was terrible.
I haven't done that since the drive-in at North Ryde.
watching One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Now, got the big one, the highlight for tomorrow, Gussie. Not too many people have been in the committee room here at the MCG. You're heading down there tomorrow.
Yeah. Have lunch?
No. You're going to call. You've got to call an over from the committee room, which is the icing. Actually, it's the hundreds and thousands on the icing, on the cake of the MCG. You're calling from the urinal. And the urinal has a window looked straight down the pitch.
Oh, no.
So the committee members don't miss a ball bowled. So you're going to call one from the urinal.
Do you and have to wear a collar and tie for that?
And Brayshaw just told me that's very fitting for the way you've been commentary too. You should be sent to the shit house.
Do I have to wear a collar and tie for that, or can I
yes.
just go...
a collar and tie in the committee room, my friend.
Just going to go the Johnny Big...
No.
T-shirt.
No.
Just come in through the bathroom window and we'll write a song.
Mate, but you have a look. If you have a look around here, you can see it. But if you look around here to the committee room, I reckon you can see the pillar with the window. And people say, what's that window doing there? Well, that's a urinal for the committee room.
Okie dokie.
You ever been there, Kez?
Never been there, no. Have you been there?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Merv's a big deal.
It's probably the nicest place to have a piss in the world.
Is it? Oh. There are parents driving their kids home.
Well, I'm just saying, Kerry. What about if I say the nicest place to urinate?
Yeah.
Is that better?
That's good.
That's definitely better.
Okay.
Your son's in the back of the box. He doesn't want to hear that type of crude behaviour.
Oh, he's got a cop a lot better than that in the way home, I'll tell you.
Well, mate, that's a big... There's a 28-year waiting list to be a member of the MCC.
Oh.
So, yeah, and you're in the urinal. You've got to start somewhere.
It's just not cricket. For Discovery Holiday Parks, Triple M rocks the Ashes. Triple M rocks...